Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. God, I feel like Gideon sometimes. Lord, I want to look to heaven and say, where be all the miracles? And God, I believe with all of my heart that we need to see miracles in this generation. We need to see them, Lord, not for the sake of putting on an exhibition, or that man could be glorified or exalted, or somebody could get a big head. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, the community, to see through the church house genuine miracles, so that it would give us a platform and the attention of the people wherewith we might then be able to preach the gospel in a more powerful way. And so I pray, Lord, that as we cover this, I do so biblically, scripturally. Lord, I don't want to step outside the boundaries of Scripture. I certainly want to stay within them. But Lord, I want to preach what is clearly taught. And I pray that you'd give us, Lord, a good Bible basis on this subject tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. There were several things that you find that contributed to the events, the activity, the excitement, the abounding of the early church in the book of Acts. And one of the things that we want to cover, one of the ingredients that we want to present tonight, is introduced here in chapter 3, but you find it in several places throughout the scriptures. I think one of the things that contributed to the book of Acts and the ability of the book of Acts to get the people in the book of Acts to get the gospel out, this sense of revival, this sense of grabbing the attention, is this ingredient: indisputable public miracles. Indisputable public miracles. I hope by the time I get done tonight that you'll begin to pray with me so that we can have those on a more regular basis here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You say, "Brother Jerry, are you charismatic?" I'm not. But let me also say this. I still believe that we serve a God that performs miracles, wants to perform miracles, and we need to see the miracles. We need to see them to build our faith, and we need for the world to see them so that it will grab their attention and cause them to say, "Let's go and gather." Greatly wondering, they gathered. Wondering, they were willing to listen. You know why? Because they saw something that was unexplainable. And indisputable public miracles is scattered throughout the book of Acts. It's undeniable. It's inarguable. Let me give you some teaching on this so that we can understand it. First of all, let's just look at this one miracle here, and let me just give you an introduction, some principles, and then we're going to come full circle back to this, Lord willing, at the end of the message. Number one, let me just say this. This miracle was in the temple. In the temple, chapter 3, verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple. And I want to just say this. I believe that God wants to use the local assembly, and he uses it as a miracle place, a place of miracles. You see, folks, I believe even this miracle was that happened. I know this is a little bit different. The temple's not the church house. I know we're in transition here. But I do believe that there's something to that. There's a reason God gave us that information in this verse. You know what? I believe that a Christian who separates himself from the local assembly probably is not going to see many, many miracles. I think Christians who come regularly to the local assembly ought to see miracles on a regular basis. This happened not only in the temple, but notice this, it happened during the hour of prayer. We need to hear that, don't we? Amen. Well, where be all the miracles? Gideon said that to God, and I think to myself, God looks down from heaven and shouts back, "Where be all the prayers?" You know, we want to complain to God about what He's not doing. I think He probably would like equal time. This happened during the hour of prayer. Now, folks, listen to me. We need a church. We need to be involved in church. We need a unified spirit in the church. And we also need to not get away from this idea of prayer. Prayer is essential. Prayer is important. Prayer is needed. And if we want to see miracles, it's going to have to involve prayer by God's people. Now, just that thought. Number one, the miracle was in the temple. Number two, the miracle was performed in the name of Jesus Christ. And of course, we need to say that. A lot of men have tried to build their name and build their own ministries and build their financial coffers by being miracle workers. Well, no such thing as a miracle worker. There is. He sits on the right hand of the Father. He's the only miracle worker. God may allow me and you to have a part or be an observer or have a front row seat to watch one, but none of us have ever performed a miracle, nor none of us will ever perform a miracle. If a preacher anoints you with oil and you're healed, it wasn't that oil or that preacher that healed you. It was God Almighty. It was God Almighty. If a miracle happens here at the church, a miracle conversion, I know God uses people to win people and to witness to people, but listen, only one person could change a heart. Only one person could convert a lost sinner, and that's Jesus Christ. So a miracle was done in the temple. It was performed in the name of Jesus Christ. Number three, this miracle changed this man forever. Changed him forever. Verse 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entering with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Boy, there was a change in this guy. Remember that, because we're going to come back to it. Number four, this miracle was noticed by the public. It was an indisputable public miracle. It was observed by the general population. People saw it. People noticed it. They saw the results of it, and they acknowledged it. Notice verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And so this was a public miracle. Now, let me give you the last thought here. This miracle then opened up an opportunity to powerfully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we see these truths. Why the miracle? Why the miracle? Build somebody's name, know to open a door so that people will listen, to get people's attention so people will listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the miracle was in the temple. The miracle was performed in the name of Jesus Christ. The miracle changed this man forever. The miracle was noticed by the public, observed by the public, and then the miracle opened up an opportunity to powerfully preach the gospel. Let me read to you the results of this, because I want you to have it in the back of your mind as we cover the rest of the material. But in chapter 4, if you'll notice over there in verse number 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and captain of the temple and Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them, put them in the hold to the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now, why did 5,000 men hear the word? Because this miracle drew a crowd. This miracle got their attention. They came greatly wondering. Something unexplainable was happening down at the church house. Something you couldn't just excuse away, explain away. Something happened that was public. Something happened that was miraculous. Okay, are you listening to me, church? I believe we need, as a church, to begin to ask God to perform, and He has, by the way, He has. We'll chronicle that tonight. We'll show you that it's true tonight. Miracles happen at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but I believe we need to see more public miracles. I'm asking God for some unusual things to happen. Why? So that I would be exalted or you would be exalted? No, so that we could grab the attention of the local community so they would come and give a hearing to the gospel. Sometimes lost people just need to see something that's unexplainable and supernatural. And so I'm telling you, this study has stirred this within my heart, and I want to help you with this. Now, let me give you an explanation. You say, Brother Jerry, what about the miracles in the book of Acts? Well, let me just real quickly, and again, we can't go to every scripture. I'm going to give you some things. If you want to jot this down and study it, I think you'll find it fascinating. But there were several different types of miracles that happened in the book of Acts. There were the miracles of healing. We just seen this in Acts chapter number 3. We see it again in Acts chapter number 5. There were miraculous conversions, Acts chapter number 8, with Saul being converted in a miraculous way. There were miraculous resurrections. We can read the story of Tabitha in Acts chapter 9 and her resurrection. There were miraculous deliverances. Peter from prison, the doors opening, him walking out, the angel of the Lord delivering him. There were miracles concerning demons being cast out and supernatural things happening. We find that in chapter 16 and other places. So there's no arguing the fact that there was some very public miracles that caused the apostles to be able to have a platform from which to preach the gospel and gain the attention of God's people. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time teaching you and talking to you about, say, wait a minute, Brother Jerry, then why can't we see those type of things today? I mean, if at the next funeral you were asked to preach, if you'd go down there and raise that person from the dead, I guarantee you'd have the people's attention in the community. Absolutely. Wait a minute, preacher. These are in the Bible. I mean, it's in the Bible. I mean, Paul prayed over handkerchiefs and gave it to people and laid it on people and they were healed. That's in the Bible. Come on now. You can't say it's not in the Bible, folks. So explain this to me, preacher. I mean, these miraculous healings where two apostles walk in into the synagogue and there's a lame man and they said, you know what, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up, walk, reach down, pick him up, and his strength comes in the legs. That's in the Bible. Let me explain to you a little bit about what we're doing and where we're at. I want you to understand that the Bible talks about this time of the apostles and the special miracles that were allowed to happen during the times of the apostles. Now, let me have you go, first of all, and save your place in Acts, because we'll be right back here. But I want to see if I can help some of you. There are some people that have taken these events that are recorded in the Bible, and they've turned them into tomfoolery within the church house. You know, I mean, literally a sideshow, a carnival, a freak show, in an effort to try to gain prominence and position in the community and to raise money and all of these different things. Let's get a biblical explanation of where we're at so that we understand it. Hebrews chapter number 2. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 2. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the apostolic gifts and the gifts of the apostles. I'm going to show you some scripture that will help you to understand this. There are churches that believe that there are still apostles. There are not still apostles. Apostle, by definition, had to be an eyewitness, a person that eyewitnessed Jesus Christ, eyewitnessed, saw him with his own eyes, was personally either won by him or discipled by him. That generation was there. They were there for a short time after Christ ascended to heaven. There were certain gifts that were bestowed to the apostolic generation and the apostolic age while the Bible was being completed, while the entire scripture, the canon of scripture, was being compiled, and then that which was perfect came, that which was in part done away with. You do have to understand, folks, that there were some special gifts granted to the apostles and to those of the apostolic generation that ceased once the entire scriptures came together. I'm going to see if I can show you that. Now, listen, you need to study this. You need to understand it. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Notice this, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them who that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Who were these type of things bestowed upon? Those that heard Jesus Christ. This apostolic group, these group of apostles and the people that were there who walked with Christ, was discipled with Christ, and these things. Now, let me take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to do a run by these things. We're teaching through 1 Corinthians. We'll be in chapter 12, according to my calculations, about 2013. And so at that time, we'll be able to teach it a little bit more in depth. I'm beginning to wonder about that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 4, notice this, 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another. By the way, why did this Holy Spirit at this time still need to give words of wisdom, direct revelation? Why? Why? Because the Scripture was still being given. The Scripture was still being presented. Think about that. To another, the word of knowledge. Why? Why would that have to need to be necessary at this time, during the time of the apostles? You know why? Because the Scripture wasn't complete. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. We better understand what this book is. I'm getting more and more ticked off at the attacks against the Bible. I'm angry about it. I'm angry about it. I'm not going to get into personality worship like some of you and just, you know what, because somebody said something, it must be true. You better figure this thing out. This book cannot be separated from the God of the book. You can call me a Bible worshiper. You can call me a book worshiper. You can say, well, you worship a book, I worship God. You cannot separate God from His Word. You cannot separate God from His Word. Now, if I say something, you know what? You can separate my words from me sometimes, because sometimes my words do not properly represent me. I might misspeak. I might even lie or be deceptive. You know why? Because I'm a sinner. But God's words perfectly represent who He is. Perfectly represent who He is. To say that you worship God, but you don't worship the Bible, you don't even know God if you don't have the Bible. In the beginning was the Word. That's right. You know why? Because you cannot separate the living Word and the written Word. These words represent who God is to us. Without these, you do not know them. If you separate God from the Word and say, that's a book and this is God, you're going to be a charismatic in 3 years. This book is the inspired, preserved words of God. Very words of God for the English people. They didn't lose inspiration through translation. These are inspired by all Scripture is given by all Scripture. Is this Scripture? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I mean it. I'm ready to fight some people over this. I'm sick and tired of it. You know, you tell me, well, the only way we can study the inspired words of God is to go find, to learn Greek and to do Hebrew. You go ahead and do that, but I'm studying them every day of my life, buddy. I've got them right in front of me. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of people shaking these young men's faith, trying to shake our preacher boys' faith, and the fact that they preach inspired, and saying they don't preach from an inspired book. Brother, if it don't have breath, it don't have life. You can't have it both ways. What's not breathing's dead. Inspiration wasn't just an act of delivery. It was the giving of life, and the breathing continues. The breath of God stays upon it. It wasn't just a delivery system. And so anyway, sorry, I'm just a little ticked off about something. See this? Watch. I can feel God's breath. Don't you tell me this thing's not alive. I've spent too many years studying it. I've seen too many miracles. Don't tell me this thing. Don't try to tell me I got some second-rate Bible that's not got the whole deal and the whole touch and the whole anointing and the whole power of God on it. Now, you may not think that's a big deal, but I promise you, you've taken the first step on a road that's going to lead you to where every liberal college ended up. I promise you that's true. So anyway, believe what you want, but you're wrong if you don't agree with me. On this, at least, amen. That whole Chicago Bears thing—that may be another subject. But where did I get up on that? Here we go. words of wisdom. Why was the Holy Spirit still giving a word of wisdom? Now we've got a church down the road saying, the preacher's up there, wait a minute, I got a word of wisdom. Yeah, you do if you got a King James Bible in front of you, but you didn't get any new revelation. Why were they still getting it? Because the Bible wasn't complete. Paul had to get it in order to write the scriptures. Peter had to still get it to finish the Bible. There were men getting that in order to finish the canon of scripture, but that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Now remember that. Think about that. Notice this. Goes on to say, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now my book Bible says, faith cometh by, and hearing by the. See, folks, what we've done, we're becoming charismatic. We want to use the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit's job is to say amen to the written word. Not to give you something special and something extra. It's to empower and tutor you and train you in the scriptures. All right, so to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing. Now, wait a minute. If we've talked about all these other things happening while the Bible, why do you think all of a sudden we should shift here? To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Yes, let me use this phrase because I think it's accurate. I believe God gave the apostles special ability to do what I call miracles. They were able to exhibit or to do public miracles in a way that was I hate to use the word for show, but you know what? They were allowed to use the working of miracles by the Spirit of God to do something unusual until the Bible was put together. Now, again, I'm going to defend this in a minute and tell you that I still believe in miracles. But I don't believe in the apostolic gifts are available today. And one of the apostolic gifts is the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, verse number 10. To another, prophecy. Now, we've replaced prophecy, which is foretelling, with preaching, which is forthtelling. Okay, but why was it still here? Because of the times, because of where we are. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these things that churches still want to say and try to force and make happen. Sorry, if you're not Paul, Peter, John, you weren't converted by Christ and trained by Christ, you don't have it. You don't have it. They came, they went. They were for a time. Okay? So remember that thing. If you jump over to verse number 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you, wait, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Why? Hey, all these things are great, all these things are fine, all these things are for a time, they're for a season, they're going to jumpstart Christianity, but you know what? God's perfect plan. It's found in verse 13, or chapter 13, chapter number 14. The gifts are going to pass off. You know what needs to take over? Chapter 13, love, charity needs to be the driving force behind the church. Chapter 14, what's to deliver the gospel? Exhibition type miracles? No, the preaching of the gospel. Chapter number 14, love and the preaching of love people, preach the word of God. Love people, preach the word of God. Love people, preach the word of God. Guess what? That just replaced everything I just said before. That's what God's plan is for the carrying out of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Love people and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wish we had time to go into it more. If you want to look in chapter number 13, we see in verse number 9, we know in part, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that means complete. That's what that word perfect means, complete. Then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. By the way, Christianity was a child here. The church was a child. They were on toddler legs. You know what? Because of that, God gave them special graces and special gifts. But that which is perfect is come. That which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. I skip verse number 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall be cease. Whether they shall there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. These things have vanished off the scene. The canonized scriptures is completed. God's put it together. God's anointed it. This is the power. Listen, folks, this is more powerful than a public miracle. Here's the plan. Preach the word. Here's the plan. Use the scripture. Here's the plan. Love people. That's the plan. That's the plan. Let me have you, if you will, go to, let's see here. Let's go back now to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. All right, now let me get into what's taught here. Miracles of healing, yes, they're in the book of Acts. Miracle conversions in the book of Acts. Miracle resurrections, miracle deliverances, miracles over demons, public, these type of things being done very publicly. These things, of course, are part of the book of Acts. These are the apostolic gifts. These are the miracles that were special, special miracles, the Bible said, was done by the hand of Paul. Special miracles during the times of the apostles. These were for exhibitory type miracles. They were gifts granted by the Holy Spirit for a specific period of time to jumpstart the church. These are apostolic gifts that left when the church, when the Bible was completed and the apostles passed off the scenes. Now, say, okay, Brother Jerry, so what you've said is this. One of the ingredients of the early church is indisputable public miracles, and yet you've just tried to convince us that these things no longer exist. No, I believe that miracles still exist. Miracles still need to be seen. The public still is stopped in their tracks by miracles. And I believe that the miracles, though, have changed. It's not a matter of me putting on some type of an exhibit. It's a matter of the church seeing miracles through the church, in the church, and that draws people to the church. Now, let me give you some things to think about, okay, as we finish this up. I want you to begin to pray for indisputable public miracles. I believe Acts chapter 3 still warrants our careful consideration. I still believe God uses the church house for miracles and prayer as the energy behind miracles. I still believe that miracles can only be performed in Jesus' name. I believe that there are miracles that still happen, watch this, that change men forever. I think the greatest miracles that grant the greatest attention and cause the world to stop are miracles that change men forever. They're miracles that change men forever. You know what? There's been, in this church, we've watched people get saved that, you know what, has absolutely set this community on their ear. I mean, they absolutely, now listen, let me just say this. Everybody that gets saved is important. Everybody that gets saved, it's a miracle. But I believe from time to time, God allows us to see something miraculous happen so that everybody that kind of has used every excuse and every cliche to write off Blessed Hope Baptist Church and what we believe, all of a sudden they have to stop and reconsider. Why? For the sake of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? No. For the sake of the message that goes from this pulpit. For the fact that we preach the Word of God. Now, let me just say this, folks. We've seen the miracles here. We've seen some miracles here. We're in our churches sitting some miracles. Sitting some miracles. They're sitting right here in our church. Do you get this? And just because you don't know everybody's past doesn't mean that there wasn't a miracle in somebody. Greg Abel is a miracle, was a miracle conversion. Patty King is a miracle conversion. I mean, folks, there's no explanation. I don't want to embarrass her in any way, and I don't want to go back. But honestly, if you talk to my mom and dad, and if they felt open enough to share with you everything, because Dad worked with Sister Patty from day one and helped her get saved, helped her grow in her faith, and helped her get her life put together. Him and Mom worked together. But I'm telling you, the people that knew her, they still stand in awe at the change in her. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you be a miracle? You know, Gideon saying, where be all the miracles? God said, well, I want to perform one in you. Why don't you let me? I mean, folks, my dad, Don Mowry, all these other men for years tried to witness to Ron Vestal. Brother Bo tried to witness to Ron Vestal. Bus workers tried to witness. You know what you'd get when you try to talk to Ron Vestal? You knock on the door. If he came to the door, he'd look at you like this. If you tried to carry on a conversation with him, he'd go like this. He'd point to where his mother's room was, and he'd turn around and go to the back of the house. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much as far as you got. I'm not saying nobody here ever carried a conference. But you know what? You can maybe talk to him a little bit, but bring up God and see what happens. Say, what happened? A miracle happened. You know what? There was a mama that just said, I'm just going to keep praying for a miracle. I'm not going to leave God alone until he performs a miracle. You know what? I know what they say about my son, but he's my boy. I know the kind of life he's lived, but he's my boy. And I want God to save him. I want God to change him. You know what? I remember Don Mary came to me one day shortly before Ron got saved and said, man, have you been by Mrs. Vessels lately? And I said, yeah, a little bit. And he said, have you talked to Ron? He came over and talked to me, started talking to me the other day. I went and seen her a short time after that. Ron came out of the back room, come in and talk to me. You may not think that's a miracle, but that's a miracle. I wish I could tell you some glorious story about how Dad or Brother Don or me or Brother Bo led him to Christ. But the honest truth is, God just performed a miracle. I mean, God just slipped up on us and surprised all of us. I mean, we're sitting in the back foyer waiting for the church service to start. We see car pull up. We see Ronnie Vestal. Folks, I'm not trying to be mean, but Dirty Ron. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because his mama's here and she knows. But you know what? All of a sudden, he steps out of the car. He's got a brand new blue shirt on. It's ironed. He's got a tie on. He's neatly manicured and shaved. He's got a brand new pair of black Levi's on. He goes around, gets his mama, brings her in, walks down the center aisle. I was watching him, and I was watching some of the rest of you, and I think we all had the same dumbfounded look on our face. Bible was preached that morning. First verse, first note, practically the invitation. Ron stepped out in the middle aisle, walked right up here. You know what? God had kept after him. Mama's prayers had kept after him. All the people that had sowed and watered it began to work. Pastor Ross, way back when he'd visit him in the prison and all of that, all of those things were there. All of those seeds were planted. All that watering was done. Every bus worker that got one sentence in, it was all worked together. And God, you know what, said one day, I think I'll just perform a miracle. And you know what? All of the people in the community want to scoff about a bunch of nutcases. You know, that's a cult down there, blah, blah, blah. You know what? All of a sudden, Ron Vestal got saved. I mean, I had to laugh when Brother Greg was telling me the other day that Sister Connie was out, County Howe was out visiting. I'm not just trying to lift up. Like I said, I don't care if you were born in a Christian home, you were raised in church, you attended church 9 months before you were born, you know. Came up and you were saved at 6 years old in Children's Church at the sofa with your mom and dad. Let me tell you something. That's wonderful and that's a miracle. And I'm not trying to diminish it. And it is important. But I will say this. The community honestly needs to see miracle conversions. They really do. Church, I want to challenge you in a few minutes. Keep your heart open to this. See, I think too many times we've written certain people off. Come on. What? Listen, who's going to win the biggest rascals in Greene County if Blessed Hope Baptist Church doesn't win them? Who's going to win the biggest rascals in Sullivan County and Clay County if Blessed Hope Baptist Church doesn't win? Why not? Too many times we deceive somebody and we write them off. You know what? That's why I said a few minutes ago, our present needs to be saved. I'm praying for a miracle conversion. You know, it could be that the very person that Satan plugged into power and pushed to get in power, God could turn that thing around and maybe spark a revival through his genuine conversion. Say, is it going to happen? I don't know. I don't think anybody thought the Apostle Paul was going to, or the Saul of Tarsus was ever going to get saved. But Stephen saw opportunity. See, there's that guy that's been persecuting the church. Man, look at that. They're collecting rocks. Well, I've got a few minutes. Here it goes. And he just preached the gospel. God used that preaching, I think, to... Listen, I think that sermon of Stephen and the angelic look on his face and the prayer of compassion and mercy on the very people that were stoning him to death, I think that rode Saul of Tarsus all the way to the Damascus Road until he couldn't stay on his horse anymore. I think that's one of the things that knocked him off his horse and caused him to turn in faith and believe in Jesus Christ. You know, we need to see some miracles. Brother started to tell you, Brother Greg's telling me about Sister Tanya going visiting with Connie Howe. And she's crazy when she goes visiting in Worthington. She does. He says that I'll be driving down the road and she'll say to Tanya, look, there's somebody. Pull a car over. I know that person. And they'll start to get the car door open. The woman will jump out while still moving and chase this person down. And I like the idea where she always says to me, she's like, you know, you've got to come to Blessed Hope. I mean, you've got to come to listen, you knew me before. You knew I hated church. You know I didn't have need or time of day for any kind of church. This isn't like every other church. You need to come to church with me. I'm going to tell you, all of Worthington's looking over at that crazy woman going, what in the world happened to her? What happened to her daughters? You know what it is? There's a miracle going on. Now, church, listen to me. Hey, bus route. You know, if I was bus captain, let me tell you, bus workers, where are you at? What town are you in? Why don't you just decide, along with reaching all the children we can reach, which we want to, and all the teens we can reach, which we want to, why don't you decide you're going to start praying for that drunkard father? Why don't you decide you're going to start praying for that drug addict dad or drug addict mom? Why don't you decide that woman that lives in the house where you're picking those kids has been through three marriages and is in the fourth one, it's a disaster. Why don't you just decide that she could be the next Patty King? Why don't you claim her for God? You know what? I think sometimes people don't get saved because we've already decided they're not going to listen. You know what? The folks that are farthest away and deepest in sin, you know what? Down deep, they also know one thing. They know they're the biggest ones that are in need. Why not a miracle? Why not a miracle? Brother Jerry, what if you could just go raise the dead? Listen, that type of thing is the resurrection of the dead. But if we could go down to the hospital, we could listen, that is causing the crippled to walk. Salvation does all of the things that I'm talking about here. Every miracle that in the book of Acts is just a foreshadowing of the type of salvation that's available and the miracle change that happens in people. You know why? That's why, and listen to me, please listen to me. That is why it is a travesty to be saved and not change. It's a travesty to get saved and not do a 180 and just let everybody in the community go, what in the world? That's why it's wrong to get saved and decide, well, I got saved, but you know what? There's some of this stuff, I don't know, I'm just going to hang back and I'm just, you know, hit, miss. What? How are they going to see a miracle? Why don't you let God complete what He started in you? I mean, be a miracle for God. Be a miracle for God. You know, young men, let me say this. You say, well, Brother Jerry, it sounds like to me the only people who have a chance to be a miracle are the ones that are saved out of some type of hideous background or what? No. Christian teenagers, listen to me. Like I said before, I don't care if you're raised in church, you know what? A teenager in this day and age, please listen to what I'm going to say. A teenager in this day and age, Christian home, non-Christian home, that is bold in their faith in Jesus Christ and clean in their living, and you know what? Abstains from all appearance of evil and walks and talks and is an example of the believer. Let no man despise thou you, but be thou an example of the believer that decides, you know what, buddy? You know what? They are a miracle in this day and age. They stand out. The community stands up and takes notice. That's why I'm pleading with you. You may think it's a game. I don't know what you think sometimes. And I love you. I'm not trying to be real hard on our teens, but man, sometimes I would just... you've got an opportunity to be a miracle. I mean, the person that works up here at the IGA, you know what they watch come in and out of every day that's between 10 years old and 18 years old? And all of a sudden you come in. And buddy, it ought to stop everybody in that store in their tracks. And it does. Listen, I've spent my life walking around with my wife and three girls. I go to the store with them. I think we did it three times in our life. I try not to do it very often. When I'm out in public with my daughters, when I'm out in public with my wife, I watch people. And I'm going to tell you something. Christian ladies who are not afraid to look like Christians and act like Christians, I'm going to tell you something. They stand out like a sign for Jesus Christ. I mean, the world just stops. Just watch them. Just watch them. Everybody will just stop and go. They'll just... I mean, you talk to my wife. Talk to any Christian lady in here. The comments that they've received through the years. People that wait on them. People that take care of them. People that take their money and take their money and take their money and take their money. But take our money. But I mean, sometimes folks are so amazed they can't not say something. You know, come on, Teenage boys, excuse me if I get mad at you, but why are you trying to look like every other hound dog running around out there? I mean, just sit down and explain it to me sometime. Why are you so determined to blend in? And I'm not saying that everybody ought to do this, but can I say this? You know, when Jesse McCammon got saved, we're still praying about Jesse Beller, but when Jesse McCammon got saved, you understand that every day before the last year, am I wrong on this? Do you wear a tie to public school? Every day, do you wear a tie to public school? What are you Christian school kids whining about again? Oh, he don't even have a rule book. I'm so sick and tired. Well, just because I was raised a Christian, you know, they have such high expectations. Yeah. You ding dong. Of course we do. And we should. I mean, I heard Charlie Clark say in an invitation one time this week, he said, I'm going to start talking to the preacher's kids. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not one of these guys who want to hear anybody whine. He was a preacher's kid. He was raised a preacher. I don't want to hear anybody. I hate hearing preacher kids. Oh, I'm a preacher kid. I had some. People expect more from me because I was a preacher. Yeah. Stop. Get rid of your martyr complex. You poor thing. You didn't get to be raised in a drunkard's home. You can sit and talk to someone. You didn't get to be molested when you were a kid. You could talk to people in this room if I was so bold as to give them give you their names. You want to whine about the kind of life you have. You want to whine about the protection you've received and the grace of God in your life. Some adults around here that could sit down and, buddy, they'd curl your hair with stories, things they had to go through as a child. And you want to complain about being in a Christian home, going to a Christian school? Now listen to me. I'm thankful for all of these miraculous conversions, but you know what can destroy? Anything we gain from them can be destroyed by the testimony of the young people that are raised in this place. You'll do more to damage the cause of Christ by going out and trying to live this double life than what we gain through the miracles. And I am putting something on you. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, it's time for us to put some things on our young people. Some of you still grumbling, whining about this whole boyfriend-girlfriend thing. I'm so sick and tired of it. Parents, they wouldn't be doing it if you didn't allow it. It wouldn't be doing if you didn't allow. Well, I don't even know if I want to go to Kim. We'll get in trouble if we talk to a boy. Well, what are we supposed to do? What are we not supposed to do? Blah, 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 blah. You're supposed to use common sense. You're supposed to be friendly. You're supposed to go by and say hi. And talk. And if you want to talk to somebody, fine. But no, you're not going to use this opportunity that we're getting you somewhere so that you can be spiritually helped to play the boyfriend, girlfriend, chase around, sneak around thing all week long. I'm telling you, I don't know how to make any plainer. I'm not going to walk around with a stopwatch, but you got enough sense. You know when you're pushing the envelope. Don't push it. See, that's not very specific. Good. You might just have to use some sense. And you know what? If you got any questions, just go the extra mile. Amen. I'm trying to help some of you. And I'm telling you what, folks, the world needs to see miracles. The world needs to see a bunch of young men that's got their act together, that's sharp, that look like Christians. Don't walk around talking like the world and acting like the world, being stupid like the world is. Come on now. They ought to see God's transforming power, not just in somebody saved out of a hideous lifestyle, but from the church house, from the nursery on up, there ought to be some miracles. I think the greatest miracle maybe that's out there is not the person that's saved out of a life of sin. Maybe it's the young person that got saved early and decided they're not going to ever know anything about a life of sin. They're just going to walk it the whole time. You got a chance to be something great. You got a chance to be the best advertisement for Jesus Christ that this community could have. Or you've got the opportunity and you have the power, if you choose to do it, to take the precious name of Christ and just drag it through a manure pile. Because people know who you are and they know where you've been raised. And they know what you profess to be. And they're watching. What am I saying? I'm saying this. This community needs to see miracles. And I'm not talking about going down to a hospital and start picking people. I mean, listen, folks. If I believe for 1 second the apostolic gifts were still available, I would pay whatever price I had to pay to ask God to give it to me so that I could go help some of our people tonight. But those types of things are gone. But the miracles that God wants to perform are still as supernatural and as amazing, because it doesn't just fix a bone or straighten a foot, it changes a heart. Be a miracle. Be a miracle. Young man, you want to be a miracle in this day and age? Be able to stand up when you're 21 and say, "See these lips? Never been a drop of alcohol near it." You'll be a miracle. See these lips? Never had a cigarette touch them. You'll be a miracle. See this body? It's pure, clean. Decided a long time ago, we're going to wait for God's perfect one. You don't think that's not a miracle in this day and age? That's a miracle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to decide to be miraculous. To be miraculous. God, we can't do that. All miracles, all real miracles, must be done in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of Christ. We within ourselves, Lord, in us is no good thing. But Lord, you have the power to make us something amazing. I believe the world would listen to somebody that at one time was in a motorcycle gang and now is not. Their life has changed. I think God might listen to that person. But I also think God might just listen to a 21, 22-year-old young man who has a track record of living right and being right and doing right. Walk around with a martyr complex, but instead embrace Christianity and live purely and strive every day to be an example of the believer in word, conversation, purity, faith, spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, God. Speak to our hearts. Lord, this area needs to see miracles. They need to see the miracle of a changed life. They need to see a miracle of a separated, holy life. They need to see a miracle of a bold witness. People not ashamed, people not afraid. Everybody else running for cover. Everybody else is circling the wagons and hiding out. And there's that crazy bunch of Baptist people. And you know what? They keep living right and preaching hard and loving people and getting the gospel out. They're not backing up. They must have something that's real. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, in all of our lives. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Folks, listen with all my heart. Man, if I was an elementary kid, and I heard this message. You children in elementary, listen to me. If I was an elementary child and you still have the innocence and the touch of God and the purity about you, man, I'd get to an altar and I'd say, "God, make me a miracle. Make me a miracle. God, help me to be a miracle so that people will hear the gospel." If I was a teenager, I'd say, "God, make me a miracle. May I live in such a way so that my life stands out as a bright, shining example, as a true light and true testimony of the wonders of Christ." You say, "Brother Jerry, I wish I was raised in church. I wish I was a child in church. I wish I was a teenager that had these advantages. I wish I would have went to a Christian school." Well, you know what? You can't undo what's done. But you can be a miracle for God. If I was an adult, if I was a senior citizen, I said, "God, help me live every day so people know that knew me before know how different I am, how changed I am, what God's did in my life. May my life be the kind of thing that makes people gather and wonder at the goodness and grace of God." Heavenly Father, bless our invitation.